The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Gemara Bava Metzia, Daf Tet Zayin. Today's daf is being studied in the Nishmat Marat Zekanatiya from Batzarav in the Nishmat of Rabban Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichem Began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Tet Vav Amud Bet, and we are starting Ba'amine Shmuel Merav. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines on the bottom. We're in the sugya over here. We were discussing a case where Reuven stole a field. He sold it to Shimon. The Nigzal came back and took his field back from Shimon. So that Shimon has a claim against Reuven to give him his money back. So now we discuss another case now. Shimon is going to discuss a case. So to ask him a question. Let's say Reuven sells the field to Shimon. It's stolen. And then Reuven goes to the Nigzal and he buys the field from the Nigzal. So how do we look at that when he's buying the field from the Nigzal? Do we say he's buying it and therefore now the Lokeyah can keep it? Which means he just secured the Lokeyah's position. Or do we say no? Now he's considered like a guy that buys it, so he owns it, so he can go to the Lokeyah and say, hey, give me my field. What's the position of the gazlan that buys the field from the nigzal after he sold it to the lokeyah? Let me ask that question. Well, it says, Ba'amine Shmuel Merav, Shmuel is from Rav, Hazar velakha ba'alim arishonim mahu. What's the deen when the gazlan buys the field from the original owner? Amale, he says, Ma machal lo rishon l'sheni. When Reuven sold the field to Shimon, what did he sell him? Kol zechut shetavo liyado. Which means he sold them all benefits that will ever come to him. Because really the field was not his. The field was stolen. So what did he really sell him? He sold them rights. He sold them options. He sold them zechuyot. Including the zechuyot that he sold was that in the event that if I ever go buy the field from the gazlan, or from the nigzal, it'll belong to you. That's part of the things that he was selling him. Otherwise, what did he sell him? It was a stolen field. He can't sell a stolen field. And I must have sold him zechuyot. In the event that I go buy the field from the nigzal, then it'll belong to you legally. So therefore, the deen of the Gemara is he cannot go back and tell Shimon, hey, it's my field now. I bought it from the nigzal. Ela adaba. That just secures the position of Shimon that he's able to keep it. So Gemara says, "My ta'ama, what's the reason for this?" Marzutra Amar, "Nichale delo nikriye gazlana," because a guy he does not want to be called a gazlan, and therefore he doesn't want Shimon calling him a gazlan. Hey, you crook! You sold me a field; it was really stolen. He wants to make it good. So therefore, when he buys the field from the nigzal, he's really buying it in order to secure the position of Shimon, because he doesn't want to be called a thief. As she says, "Delo lekriye gazlana, shelo yitrefenu lokei azek kshiyotzi'ena nigzal miyado v'kenu gazlan." Right? Lekach chozel la'amid memkaro. He doesn't want to be called a gazlan when the real nigzal is going to take it away from Shimon. Now Shimon's going to say, "You cook. You sold me a field that was stolen." So if he wants to make it good, that's why he goes and buys it from the Nigzal. And Reuven buys the field from the Nigzal in order to secure the position of Shimon. Rav Asher Amar, Nichale Deliku Behemnute. Another reason he says is because he wants to have Ne'emanut. He wants to be established as an honest person. And therefore, when he sold the field, if it's going to be taken away from Shimon, you're a crook. Not a gazlan, but he wants to establish his ne'emanut. He wants to establish his, let's say, his reputation as an honest person. So Kimran says, "My benayu." What's the difference between the two reasons? Either he doesn't want to be called the ganav, or he wants to be called an honest person. It's the same concept. Ika benayu demit lokeyah. Let's say Shimon died. Man da'aman yichale delo lekriya gazlana. According to the opinion that says, the reason why he bought it from the nigzal, so he's not called, so he won't be called the gazlan. Hamitle, the lokeyah died. He's not going to call him a gazlan. But according to the opinion that says, He wants to be, have an honest reputation. Yet with the children of the Lokeyah, Shimon's children, he also wants to have a good reputation that they shouldn't take the field away from them, and therefore he should be considered honest by them. So Gemara says, Sof, Karule Bene Lokeyah Gazlana. There's not enough coming out because the children of the of Shimon are also going to call him a Gazlan. So both reasons make sense. That he wants to make good because he doesn't want to have a bad reputation by the children, and he doesn't want the children to call him a Gazlan. And that Ikabena, I know what the difference is. Demit Gazlan. We're talking about where the Gazlan died. Reuven. According to the printer that says the reason why he bought the field because he doesn't want to be called the Gazlan, Hamitle, he died. So he's not going to be called the Gazlan. According to the printer that says he buys it back in order to have an honest reputation, even though he's dead, he still wants to have an honest reputation even after he dies. Sof, even after he dies, they're going to call his children the son of the Gazlan. So therefore, that reason applies even after Gazan's dead. And like Abenayu, the Ava b'matana. Oh, the case is talking about where, let's say, the Gazlan, the Reuven got the field from the Nigzal from a matana. He didn't buy it back from him, but he got it as a gift. It says, Ma damani chaledilikum behemnuta. Which is according to the opinion that says he wants to have a good reputation and he wants to be considered like an honest person, matanana me nichale delikum behemnute, which means even when he gives it as a even when he gets it as a matana from the nigzal, so that means that he worked on getting it as a matana because he wants to keep his reputation that he shouldn't give the guy stolen goods. But according to the opinion that says he's interested in not being called a Gazlan, Amarle Mai Gazlina Minach. They will say, what did I steal from you? What's this last answer? Oh, so he says, Ika Benayu like this. I want to repeat this last answer. The case is talking about, he didn't sell it. Reuven didn't sell it to Shimon. Reuven gave it as a gift to Shimon. Reuven stole the property. He gave that. We always learned he sold it. He didn't sell it. He gave it as a gift. So he gave it a gift to Shimon. It's really stolen goods. So now what? He went to the Gazlan or the Nigzal and he bought it from him. Okay? So we say, oh, he bought it from him. He's really buying it to secure the position of Shimon. Because either he doesn't want to be called the Gazlan, he doesn't want to be, he doesn't want to lose his reputation of being an honest guy. So really, it's really Shimon. That Shimon gets to keep it. So you realize that coming out, the two answers will be, is when he gave it to him as a matana. According to the opinion that says that he wants him to be of an honest reputation, so even when he gives it to matana, he wants the matana to be his. So therefore, he doesn't want to have a bad reputation. But according to the opinion that he doesn't, so he's not, he won't be called a gazlan, amarle, so the... My gazina minach. Right. In that case over there, he could tell Shimon, what did I steal from you? Because he gave it to him as a matana. He didn't take any money. If you're just looking to have a good reputation, yes, you can buy a matana. You don't want to give a guy a matana that's going to be possessed. So then when he goes to buy it from the Nigzal, he's really working on his reputation. You're an honest guy. Give me a matana, I get to keep it. But if you're telling me the case is that he's worried about, he shouldn't be called the Gazlan, he's not going to be worried if he's called the Gazlan. Which is when he buys it back from the Nigzal, he's not doing it so he's not going to be called the Gazlan. Because the guy can't call him a guy. What did I steal from him? I gave you a gift. So then, if you're going to look at it from that standpoint, then when he's buying it back for himself. Then he would be able to take it back from Shimon. Because if you just want to be called, well, he can't call you a Gazlan. I gave you a matana, my Gazlan. I didn't take anything from you. So that would be the nafka mina between the two reasons. Where Reuven gave the item to the stolen item to Shimon as a gift, and then he went and he bought it back from the Nigzal. So in that case over there, if you're looking to save your reputation to be called an honest guy, then yeah, you're really buying it for the guy, for Shimon. You're buying it back so Shimon can keep it, so he doesn't call you a dishonor. You gave me a gift that was repossessed. But if you're looking to save yourself from, because you don't want him to call you a Gazlan, he can't call you a Gazlan. Because what's he going to call you a Gazlan? You gave him a gift. And that must be when you're buying it back from the Nigzal, could be you're buying back for yourself. And you're not concerned about the reaction of Shimon, because Shimon can't tell you anything in the Gabe Gazlan. Because he didn't pay you any money. You know, that continues more on these stories. Beshita, it's obvious. Zebna, if let's say he bought it, meaning he bought it back from the Nigzal, like the case we just said. Urta means he gave it as a he bequeathed it. He was yoreshit. We'll see all these cases now. V'yahava b'matana, where he gave it as a gift, which means this case will be like this. He sold it to a guy. Reuven sold the stolen field to Shimon. Before he buys it back, he went and sold it to somebody else. And then he bought it back. Or he bequeathed it to his children. Or he gave it to a gift. He gifted it to somebody else. Now this guy for sure is not caring about his reputation. Because if this guy is worried about his reputation, what is he going to sell it to somebody else before he buys it back? The whole reason we said to that, the reason why he buys it back, to preserve his reputation. Because he wants someone to say, okay, he's a good guy. No, okay. But in this case over here, Adrabah, before he bought it back, he already transferred it to somebody else, and he sold it to somebody else, or he gave it a Yerushat to somebody else, to his children, or so on and so forth. So in that case, you don't have the Sivara that the guy's trying to protect his reputation. So the Gemara says, Pshita, Zavna, if he sold it to somebody else before he bought it back. Urta, or he inherited it to his children. I mean, when he was alive, he wrote it, the Mechayim, I'm ready, I'm giving you this gift. The Avametera, Lav Leukme Kameh Lokeach Kabe'eh. Adrabah, he's not doing it to keep it by Shimon. He doesn't want to keep it by Shimon. Adrabah, he wants to give it to somebody else. Look, you don't have that Sivara. Nafla Lebirusha. Oh. But let's say the item fell to him by Yerusha. He stole the item from somebody that eventually is Yoresh. Stole it from his father, let's say. Okay? Stole it from his father. And then what? Then his father died. Okay? Now, before his father died, he sold it to somebody else. He sold it to Shimon. Okay, Reuven inherited the stolen item from his father. He sold the item to Shimon, and all of a sudden now his father died. So now really the item belongs to Reuven. So in that case over there, Yerusha Mimelahi. The Yerusha comes to him without any toil, without any work. Velav Iyu Katarach Abatra. Which means he did not do anything to secure ownership of the item. So therefore, in that case, he'll own it. Because the whole logic that we say, that while it belongs to Shimon, it's because look, Reuven's going out of his way to try to secure the item. He went, he bought it from the Nigzal. He went and he did effort. But if the item comes to him, Mimela, without him showing any effort, he doesn't want to give it to Shimon. He wants to keep it for himself. You get the Sivara. When I make effort, I sold an item to Shimon. It was stolen. Now I go to the Nigzal and I buy it back from him. I had to make an effort. I had to make exertion. Why am I making that exertion and effort? Because I want to secure it to Shimon. I feel bad. You know, I don't want to come to Gazlan, Emunah, blah. Fine. But let's say I did nothing. How did I get this item to belong to me? I didn't buy it. I didn't go to the guy and negotiate. I was Yoreshit. Did I do any effort? No. So in that case over there, we don't say that all the effort that he did is to secure it for Shimon. He did no effort. Ela when he's Yoreshit, it's Mimela. Therefore we say, it's his. Therefore he can go back to Shimon and say, thank you, I was Yoresh the item now, I'm taking it back. Only when he made an effort to buy it back from the Nigzal, things like that, then you say he's doing it to secure Shimon's position. But not when there was no effort involved. Look at Ashi. Yerusha memela havya. V'haletka lememar nihale deliku behem nuta. We're not going to say in that case over there, no, he wants to, he's acquiring it so he can have an honest reputation. V'halot tarach abatra. He didn't toil. Dene magali davte denihale deliku. We say that that's why he purchased it. Then he can go back to Shimon, get back the field and pay him. He has to pay, he has to give back his money, but the point is he could take back the field because he was Yoreshit. Now, Gabe iu bechobo. Oh, new case. All cases over here. Reuven stole the item. He stole the item. Now he wants to collect. And he sold it to Reuven. Shimon. So he sold the item. Sold it to Shimon. Shimon has a stolen item now. Now what? He wants to use that item as to pay back a debt. Look at that sheet. Gabe le gibiat mechobo. See that sheet? Lahashe gazla umachal lo ubalo etzel nigzal. The nigzal owed Reuven money. So now Reuven says, oh, by the way, that field that I stole, that's payment. Now we're even. And the Reuven was owed money by the nigzal. Okay? He stole a field from him. He sold to Shimon. Then that Shimon's holding the field. Now Reuven goes to the nigzal. Oh, by the way, we're even. Whatever you owe me, $1,000 of the field that we're covered over there. So it says, in that case, again, look at Rashi. La'achar shigazla, umachar lo, ubalo etzel nigzal, amar lo, hagbeli bechobi karka shigazaltich. Right? Which means, the karka that I stole, let that be considered as you paid me the chob. Yeah. Right? We're even. So it says, hazina, so in that case we have to look. I it le achaliti. If what? If the nigzal has other fields, he has a host of fields. The amar haba'ina le ukma kamelo kayach kaba'e. But if he says, he has other fields, he has 10 fields, but the Reuven says, I want this one. Which means, I want this field that I sold to Shimon, that's the field that I want to take as payment. So then you see what? He wants to secure Shimon's position. Because out of all the fields, why did he pick this field? Understand what we're saying here? Which means, Reuven goes to the exam. By the way, he owe me the $1,000. You know what? Reuven has 10 fields. He says, by the way, I'll take this field, the field that Shimon has, I want to take that field as payment. Why is he saying bedavka that field? Because he wants to secure that it should stay by Shimon. Then Reuven will not be allowed to go back to Shimon and say, give me back the fields. Adrabah, for the fact that he went and from all the fields, he's dafka pointing to that field, that means he doesn't want Shimon to have claims on him. However, ve'ilo, but if not, zuzehu deba'e afru'e, oh, which means, but if he just comes along and he doesn't specify that field, Ela, he just wants to get paid. And then what? The guy says, alright, you know what? Keep that field. So now he would be able to go back to Shimon and say, "I, by the way, or keep that field." So now it's his. So then we can go back and take it. Because since he didn't make an effort on that specific field, he just said, pay me back Zeus. Pay me back money. So the guy's, you know what? Keep that field over there. So then he can go back to Shimon and say, thank you, I got that back. Because since he didn't make the effort to go out of his way to secure that specific field, he just said, listen, you owe me money, pay me. So the exile says, I take to keep that field over there. Nothing he did. It was the guy who owed him the money. The exile said, keep it. So therefore, he can go back to Shimon and say, thank you, it's mine. Look, so it depends. The basic principle of this whole Gemara is, if you see the guy making an effort, conscious effort, to secure the field for Shimon, Shimon keeps it. But if it comes back to the Reuven, either through Yerusha, or through Memela, or you know, without making an effort, without him showing an effort, then already, he can always go back to Shimon and say, by the way, that field that I sold you, it's mine now. Take it back and spend the money. It's the basic principle. Now, b'matana, peligi ba ravacha v'ravina. Let's say, same story. The Reuven stole the field, he gave it to Shimon. He sold it to Shimon. The gazla, the nigzal now gives the field to the Reuven b'matana. How do you look at a matana? Well, matana is effortless. So therefore, hada mar matana ki yirusha. Deha memela. Because it happened effortless by itself. And then you did nothing. Therefore, it doesn't show that you're trying to secure the field for Shimon and Adrabah. According to you should be able to go to Shimon and say, give me the field. It's mine. I got it as a gift.
No, matana is like you went and bought it from, or it's like he sold it to you. Why? The ilav de tarach ve'artzi kameh lo hava yahivle. Matana, which means matana, you got to work a matana. Which means you must have went to the guy and you coaxed him and you talked to him and you sweet talked him and you got him to. And that's why he went to sweet talk him and appease him, because he wanted to keep his reputation. So therefore, if you look at it like that, then Shimon keeps the field. So the question is matana work or not? So according to what she taught, matana is no work. You got it as a gift, you're not interested in your reputation, you go to Shimon, thank you, I'll take it back. Or otherwise, no. I'm not saying you got to work a matana. He must have went to an exile, you're a good guy, he appeased him. Why is he doing all that? Because he doesn't want Shimon to think bad of him. Because he doesn't want Shimon to call him a crook. Why is he going to take the matana away? Or a crook, but he doesn't want to lose his. He doesn't want to be called a dishonest guy. So therefore, matana is like a mecher. Therefore, it's a toil. Therefore, Shimon keeps it. So there's two ways of looking at a matana. Is matana working it or not? Now we get to the new question. Ve'ad ematai nihale dilikum behemnute. Okay. What's the cutoff point? Which means, how long into the process do we say that the guy is looking to keep his reputation, and then Shimon gets to keep time? It's got to be a certain cutoff point where you see the guy's worried about a reputation. But let me just talk outside for a second. Let's say already Beit Din, for argument's sake, says this is a stolen property. Bedin repossessed the property from Shimon. So you see this guy, and this guy still didn't make any effort to buy it back from the Nigzal. And already it's in court. So there's got to be a certain point where you say this guy doesn't care about his reputation. Obviously, in the beginning of the process, the guy's worried about his reputation. But after a certain amount of time, you say the guy doesn't care about his reputation. And therefore, when he finally buys it back, he'll be able to keep it. So the Gemara's question is, how long into the process do we say the guy's concerned about his reputation of being an honest guy? Listen, until it gets to the court. Once it gets to the court, so now, and now let's say the guy goes and buys it back. He's buying it back for himself. But I mean, you didn't care about reputation. You came all the way to court already? No, court still, he's worried about his reputation. Not until Beit Din gives Shimon a adrachta, a paper, a seizure paper, where he can go seize the property of the Uvin. Which is he gives him a little more time. He says even more. Because after a certain amount of time, they're trying to get the money. Adrachta says, you have a paper that Beit Din gave you, you can collect money from Reuven now. You have a right, Shimon, to get your money back. Now they explore that he doesn't have any money. He doesn't have any money. So then what they do is, they start looking at his properties. And they make an announcement, within 30 days, they say, whoever wants to buy, these properties are up for sale, for auction, in order to give Reuven some cash to pay back Shimon. That's the first. So first, here's the process. Hamadah Bedin. First is the court case. After that, and they write a seizure paper, adrachta to Shimon, you have rights to collect money. Then after that, they see he has no money, Reuven. So what they do is they write another paper called a achrasta that says, for the next 30 days, we're auctioning off some of Reuven's properties, and anybody want to buy them? And for so on and so forth, Bedin is selling them off. So even up until that point, one rabbi holds that if, let's say, he makes a deal with the Nigzal and he buys the property from the Nigzal, he's only going to keep his reputation, therefore Shimon would keep the property. Some say, by that time over there, the guy don't care about his reputation. He ran Shimon in the courts, he already, Shimon has a seizure paper, he don't care about his reputation. If he ends up getting it from the Nigzal, he's getting it for himself. And therefore it doesn't belong to Shimon. Depends how long is the person concerned. Do we say that he's worried about his emanut? Okay, now the Gemara has a very simple question that has to be addressed. This should have been addressed in our minds from the beginning. Okay, so you're telling me Reuven sold it to Shimon. What did he sell to Shimon? Nothing. It's not a sale. He sold him stolen property.
So he's only stolen property. Is it a kinyan he made?
No kinyan. No nothing. He stole it.
Then Reuven goes back to the Nigzal. He buys it from the Nigzal. So we say, oh, he buys the Nigzal. He bought it for Shimon. Shimon owns it. Because what's the kinyan? Where's Shimon's kinyan here? Shimon did not make a... With what kinyan of the kinyanim that we've learned did Shimon buy it? He took the original kinyan? The original kinyan was nothing. The original kinyan was stolen. He made Meshicha on stolen property when he bought it. Stolen property is nothing. Then Reuven went and paid money to... So if anything, Reuven made the kinyan over here. Reuven bought the field from the Nigzal. How then do we automatically say, Shimon owns it. There is a kinyan. So the Gemara says, what kinyan did he make? It's a big question. Gemara says, oh, you tell me what you mean? He bought it with a star. That star is pottery. It's stolen property. So it sounds like the way they're learning this case now. Let's say a case Shimon was stolen. Shimon bought it, but he's ma'amin. He says, listen, I trust you, you're going to handle it. Now, I'm ma'amin, I'm trusting you. So what's the mechanics of that? With that pleasure, the lo ka'amar lenidi, that he didn't question him, the kasamich aleh, and he trusted him, Shimon trusted the Uven, tarach umayti leh, that he'll go and secure it for him, gamar umaknileh. So he's gomer umaknileh, which means there's a certain hana'ah that the Uven gets when Shimon tells him, I trust you. It's like he got money. It's like a monetary. It's like he got some kesef. So therefore, that hana'ah that Shimon gives the Uven at the time of the deal when he says, so it's as if he got paid. Therefore, when he goes and finally secures it, we say that's like the kesef that's making the deal. So the comes the Gemara and says, wait, Gemara says, Mativ Rav Sheshat. The problem is, it didn't happen yet. And then you run into the whole sugya of Davar Shelo Ba La'olam, which means, at the time that I am saying, you know, I trust you, don't worry about it, so I'm relying on something that might not even happen yet. Wait, that what? That he's going to go and appease the Nigzal and buy it. And so I'm saying, oh, that Hana'ah that you got, that I trusted you, that's like I gave you Kesef. Yeah, but with my body. At this point, it's stolen property. So what the Gemara says, Matkif le Rav Sheshat, Mativ Rav Sheshat, Rav Sheshat has a question. Mas she'irash me'abba machul lecha. Guy tells his friend, what I'm going to inherit from my father is far still alive. What I'm going to inherit from my father is sold to you. How can it be good? His father's still alive. That's the Davar Shelo Ba La'olam. You know what? Whatever my traps catch, whatever animals that my traps secure, will be sold to you. Lo amar kilum. Nothing. We understand that. It's the Vashlo Ba'ala Olam. How can I sell you something that didn't happen yet? But if he says, what I'm going to inherit from my father today, we don't understand the second case. Why the second case is any different than the first case? What's the difference if he says, what I'm going to inherit today from my father? Again, if his father's still alive, it still should be davar. Leave the second case. Our question is, Rav Sheshat's question is a very strong question. Just like over here, you cannot sell something that didn't come to the world yet. How can Reuven sell an item to Shimon before he appeased the Nigzal, the owner? So that was Rav Sheshat's question. Amar Rabbi Bar Hamma, Hai Gabra, V'Hai Tiyufta. You know what? This is a great man, Rav Sheshat, and that's a great question. Hai Gabra, V'Hai Tiyufta. Great man, great question. Amar Rava, so Rava said, well, not really. Gavra Kahazina. Yeah, I see a great man. Rav Sheshat undoubtedly is a great man. V'Hai Tiyufta lo Kahazina. But the question is not so great. Why? So I can answer. Hacha. Samcha da'ateh, ve'acha
lo samcha date. In the case of the Yerusha, you know the reason why it doesn't work? Because the guy's not sumech that when the father dies, he's going to really give it to him. And he's not really sumech that when the traps finally catch some stuff, he's going to end up giving it to him. He don't believe it's going to happen. So therefore, he never has really da'at to be koneh. Mashekin here, in this case, when Shven sells the item to Shimon, and Shimon tells him, listen, I trust you that you're going to handle it, he's sumech da'at. Which means he really is sumech or believes that it's going to happen. The Gemara explains. Right. Because he got it. He's holding the item. So he says, and he has a reason to believe that he's going to do it. You know why? Because the guy doesn't want to be called the gazlan. Which means he sold me an item. I know it's stolen, let's say. And he says, you know what? I'll handle it for you. I trust he's going to handle it. You know why? You don't want me to call him a gazlan now. So I trust he'll handle it. So I'm sumech. So in that case over there, there's more of a semichud da'at between both of them that it's going to happen. It's closer to happening. However, because why? He said, yeah, what's going to happen? The father's going to die, and he's going to take it for himself. Or the traps are going to trap stuff. He'll sell it to somebody else. He's not guaranteed that it's getting out. So therefore, that's really the Vashal of Ba'al HaOlam. In this case over here, it's closer to happening because they're both so make that. He's telling you, I believe you. And when he said, I believe you, I believe that it's going to happen. Look at that sheet.
That's why today is good.
Oh, no. They don't know why today is good. We'll see why today is good in a second. Look at that sheet. Lo samcha date, the first white line. Right. Who says he's even going to inherit from his father anything? Great. Maybe the father's going to sell all his property when he's alive. It might not even come to the fruition. Mashaken here, like you said, I'm holding the item already. And I know the guy doesn't want to be called a thief. Never handle it. So Gemara says, Shalchun kamed Rabbi Abba bar Zavda. They sent this question of Rav Sheshat to Rav Abba bar Zavda. This question that he asked, how could the guy be koneh, but as he's buying something shelo ba'al ha'olam, amar li'zu ena tzricha lifnim. This question of Rav Sheshat, do not even bring it into the Beit HaMidrash. Do not bring it inside. You know why? Because there's no answer. Amar ava zu tzricha lifnim v'lifnai lifnim. This we can bring inside, into the inner chambers of the Beit HaMidrash, and no problem, we can answer the question. Ha'chasam chadate v'ha'chalosam chadate. Like we just said the answer before. The big difference. In this case over here, he's sumech da'at. Because he believes he's going to go at peace. In the case of the Yerusha, who says he's going to die? And even if he dies, who said maybe he's going to sell stuff before he dies? There was a story in Pumpedita like this. The Utve, and they asked the question of Rav Sheshat. Amadu Rav Yosef zu ena tzidicha lifnim. Oh, this question of Rav Sheshat, don't even bring it into the Beit HaMidrash. There's no answer to it. Bring the question to the Beit Midrash. Bring it inside totally. Same answer. Oh, now the Gemara goes back to the case. So basically, they accept the answer. So now the Gemara says like this. Umay shena resha, umay shena sefa. Why is the second case of Yerusha better, where the guy says, "My father today, I'll give you." That's also the Vashal Ba'al HaOlam. Same mind. Who is that? He's going to die. Maybe he's going to sell it before. Just like in the first case, you said it's the Vashal Ba'al HaOlam. You cannot be makneh the Vashal Ba'al HaOlam. Why in the second case, where the guy says, "If my father dies today, or what my traps get today?" Why is that a kinyan? So the Gemara says, "My shana desha, my shana zeva." Amar Rabbi Yochanan, "Zeva." Out of respect to his father. What's the case of respect to his father? The bottom line, Nashi. Kishaya Abib Gosis. His father was on his deathbed. So it was imminent. His father was going to die. The guy needs money for the burial and for the shrouds. So he doesn't want to keep his father. So in that case, where the father is on the deathbed, and gosis. And he comes along now and he says, listen, give me money now. I need money now. And what I inherit from my father today, I'm torn. In that case, even though it's davar shel malam, the rabbis let it go because the guy needs the money to bury his father. Kavod amet, they made an exception. Exactly. Same thing with the trap, with my trap, traps today. Mishum kedeh hayav. We're talking about a guy who's ani. He has nothing to eat. So in that case over there, the rabbi said, so he doesn't starve, die, I'll let him get the money now, and then I'll give him the stuff that the trap traps. That's it. Mishum kedeh hayav. Ma shetal him shudu hayom tiknu achim shiyu devarav keim shemet sarichu lemezonot devar mu'at. אבל מה שתעלים מצוותי כל חודש או כל שנה, אין שם משום כדי חייב. But when it comes up and says, you know, for the next year, whatever comes up to my trap, that's not כדי חייב. Day to day. He needs to have mezonot today, so we'll let him sell the few animals today, because it's כדי חייב. So we made an exception by כבוד אביו and כדי חייב. Comes the Gemara and says, אמר רב הונא, אמר רב. Okay, no, new case. האומר לחברו, guy tells his friend, שדה שאני לוקח, listen, it doesn't matter. I'm going to go buy a field. That field that I'm going to go buy, henna, when I buy it, it's yours. No, it's yours. And I buy it, already I'm being magneted to you. So it says, kana, works. Now, wait him.
No,
whatever. As she says, yeah, which means, it's binding that I won't be able to back out. Meaning, when I buy that, it's yours, matana. Matana. Meaning, and I can't back out. Now, the chaura, how could you make a deal on something you didn't even buy it yet? So again, Amarava Bistavram, Miltadarav, Bistamad, the case is talking about, Bististam. Well, he didn't tell the guy which field. He just said, I'm going to buy a field. But if the guy says like this, I'm going to buy this field right here. He points to the field. And when I buy it, it's yours. No. It's not going to work. You know why? Mi yemar de mazbin le nihale. Who says he's going to sell him that field of trees? If it's time, he says, you know what? The guy has 28 fields. Guy, you know what? I'm going to buy you a field. When I buy the field, it's yours. So the guy's gomer in his mind that he'll be konet. Because he knows it's one of the fields to be able to secure. Mashiachim, when the guy tells him this field, so the guy on the receiving end, he doesn't have da'at to be koneh because he says, who says he can be, who, this field? Maybe the guy doesn't want to sell it to him. How do I know that it's going to? So therefore, there's no simichu da'at on the receiving end of the deal over here. Look at Ashi. Bistestam. Sadesh shani lokei, but no amal zu. Many fields, so he's so made that to be kone. Aval, amalu sadezu, lo samcha datad the mekabel matana, velo heemino, he didn't trust him. Dene male deliku bemnute, as if he's saying, I trust you to handle it. We're going with the logic that we said before. Where's the kinyan? Say kinyan. I trust you're going to handle it. Also, that hana'a, that he trusted the guy, it's like he gave him kesef. But that's only when he says a field. But when he says this field, you don't trust him. Who says, put it this way, is it up to him? Maybe he's going to go to the guy, I'm not selling you this field. So he has no emunah that it's going to happen. But if he says, listen, a field, oh yeah, I trust you can get one of the fields, so he'll sell you something. So then already, he's ma'aminim. So it's same mechanics as before. It's like he gave him kesef, so therefore when he goes to buy it, he goes to the original guy. Good? V'ha'eluhim amar Rav, Rav made a shivu'ah. When he ever says ha'eluhim, he made a shivu'ah. Afilu besadezu. Even in this field, the guy is makneh and he wants to, he trusts him, and therefore the kinyan is a kinyan. Mechdi, Rav keman amra l'shmateh. Rav that says even besadeh zu, who is he following? What shita is Rav following? Kedabim Meir. Rabbi Meir in Masechet Kedushin. The Amar Adam Makneh Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that says a guy can be Makneh an item that's Lo Ba'al Olam even if it's not in his control, which means even if it's out of, like in this case over here, I'm being makne you something that I don't even know if I'm going to be able to acquire, secure. Netanya, famous case. Ha'amed li'isha, guy tells a lady. Hitkachi li lahash itgayir. Be married to me after I convert. Lahash itgayiri, or after you convert. Lahash ishtahrir, he's an avid. After I get freed. Lahash ishtahrir, or she's a shifha. After you get freed. Lahash yamud ba'alich. After your husband dies. Lahash yahlots laki bimich. Or after they make chalitza to you. Then I'll be mekudeshet. Lahash yitamut achotech. Or after your sister dies. He was married to her sister. So he cannot marry her because achotishto. So he's really saying, after my wife dies, I'll be mekudeshet to you. And I'm mekudeshet. In all these cases, no kedushim because barma is davashlo bala olam. He can't make a kinyan on something that did not happen yet. However, to be meir omer mekudeshet, it works. Now, the ha'isha kisadeh zudamya. V'amar to be meir mekudeshet. In these cases over here, in some of these cases at least, it's out of his control. He cannot control if his wife dies. He cannot control if his master frees him. He cannot control if she converts. A lot of these things are like sadezu. Well, you cannot control if the guy's going to sell you the feet, and still what does it mean to say? Mekudeshet. So you see, Rav must have said his deen based on the bimeir that the vachol bala olam, even where it's out of his control, you can make the kinyan. Good. Let's go one step further. Amar Shemuel. And now we go back to the old stuff. Hamotzi shtar hakna'a b'shuk. Okay, let's review. What was shtar hakna'a? Shtar hakna'a, you found the shtar. Malve love. And the love writes in the shtar, I am being mishabed. My nechasim, my karka, to the malve from today. Which means, sometimes we're always worried, hey, who says this shtar was ever executed? Maybe he just found the shtar. Maybe they never lent the money.
Maybe it was lent later.
Maybe it was never lent at all. How do you know? In this shtar hakna, I don't care, because the guy says, whether I lend the money or not, borrow the money or not, I'm being makne my nechasim from today. So therefore, in that case over there, the shtar really is a legitimate shtar regardless, and I'm not worried about, he wrote it in Tishri, in Nisan, but he didn't lend the money till Tishri, because again, once he's mishabed himself from today, so we're finished. It's tarak nah. From today already, he's obligating himself that you can take property from me from today. But now they found that start in the shul tarabim. What's the deen? So the deen is like this. Hamosish tarak nah b'shut yazila ba'alim. Give it back to the malveh. It's up for collection. Deim mishum dechatav levod v'lo lava. What do you mean? Maybe you'll tell me. Maybe they wrote it, but it was never executed. Maybe they never borrowed the money. Hashi arbed nafshe. What do I care? He was mishabed himself anyway. Hakna'a means, even if I don't borrow the money, I'm being mishabed myself from today. So if I'm not worried about taking the kohod, shilokedin. Now, the imishum peraon, wait. Okay, maybe the shtar was a legitimate shtar. Maybe he paid him. Which is maybe the lover paid the malveh back. And the shtar fell on the floor. The Gemara is lo haishinan lepiraon. When you find the shtar in the street, according to Shemuel, you don't suspect that the shtar was paid up. Why not? The im itad de paray mekra vakarale. They would have ripped it up. Which means the love, what happens? The malveh presents the shtar. He gives it to the, hey, you owe me money. Lover says, okay. He pays him. What do you think the lover does with the shtar? First thing he does, he tears it up. You don't want the shtar to be in the world. If you find it on the floor, oh, so I'm worried about two things. Hey, who said, wait, could be, I'll give you a scenario that happened. Maybe they wrote it up, but they never actually lent the money. I don't care in this case, because the guy already said, I'm hayav, whether I paid or whether I got it or not. Okay, so that's covered. Yeah, but maybe he paid it. Impossible. If he would have paid it, he would have ripped it up. The fact that he fell on the floor, probably fell from the malveh, give it to the malveh. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Abba, my father, min safrad dayaneh demur Shmuel haba. He was from the Sofrim, the scribes of Shmuel. He worked in Shmuel's court, he was a scribe. Vavina kevar shita kevar sheva. I was like 6 or 7 years old. V'dacharna, and I remember, davu machreze v'amre. He used to announce and say, Hane shtare aknayata, di shtarot av aknayata, demishtakhe v'shuka narderinu lemarayu. Give it to the... Give it back to the owners. I remember, there was a deen, he used to scream. Anytime somebody finds a shtarak na on the street, give it back to the malveh. So the Gemara continues to bring the ayah to Shmuel. Amar Rav Amram, Rav Amram said, Af anan tanina. We also learned Shmuel's principle in the Mishnah. Shmuel's principle again is what? That when you find a shtar in the street, give it back to the malveh. You do not suspect that the shtar was paid up. Lo chayshin on the pirachon. How do we know? Kol ma'aseh bedin, hare ze yachzir. What does it mean, kol ma'aseh bedin? Hashi. Kasa kadatach shtar shekatav bo henpek. Henpek, what's a henpek? Henpek means that the bedin validated the shtar, that the edim are kosher, that it's a valid, that it's an official shtar, and it came by bedin. So therefore, you don't have to suspect that maybe the shtar was never executed, that maybe the guy never lent the money. Once you have a henpek, that means the beddin validated the shtar as a legal shtar. I mean, the money was lent from the malveh to the loveh, so you don't have to suspect that maybe it's just it's a shtar that was never used. And you have a henpek, and therefore you know it's a legal shtar, because the only way they make a henpek on a shtar is you have to do it in front of the malveh and the loveh. So it means it's not going to validate unless money was lent. So you found it on the floor. You give it to the malveh, so you see it's a ra'ayah to Shmuel. That is a yazir. Alma lo chayshin on the pera'on. You see, maybe you don't chayshin to pera'on. Alma le bizera. No, you have no ra'ayah from that Mishnah. We're talking about b'shtare halta atam ve'adrachta de'lav b'nei pera'on ninhu. We're talking about different shtarot of it, different ma'aseh beddin. You didn't find a regular shtar on the floor, Ploni owes Ploni money. Now you have no ra'ayah for me. Maybe you wouldn't give it back to the malveh. Maybe you're choshesh for pira'on. What are the shtarot over that we said that you give to the malveh? Number one, that she shtar hal ta'ata. Shtar shekadvu bedin lemotzi shtar l'chaveru v'chibu l'shalem v'lo shilem. Already bedin was posek, you owe the money. Right? The guy didn't pay yet. V'yardu nechasav v'shamu l'ba'al chov echad mehem v'natu lo shtar sh'api bedin ba'alo. It's like a permission, foreclosure, that they gave him, a shtar, you can go down to his field and take one of these properties over here. Or in adrachta. Shalom matzulo achshav nechassim. They didn't find any assets that the guy could pay yet. V'chatvu lo shiridof lachzor al nechassav. They made a shtar that he has a right to go and make, to put like, he can go search his nechassim. If you find something, he can collect it. Because these shtarot over here, the discussion is not whether he paid or not. We know that the loan is outstanding. The shtar that you found on the floor was an adrachta. The shtar that you found on the floor was a halta'ata. These shtarot over here are after the fact already. Bet din already was supposed to say he owes the money. Oh, that goes to the malveh. It's the malveh. Whose shtar is it? So you have no ra'ayah from here that when it says kol ma'aseh bet din, give back to the malveh. We thought any shtar, even a shtar regular, shtar malveh to loveh, give it back to the malveh. Oh, so you see what? No chayshin in the pira'on? No. It's talking about a different type of ma'aseh betin. An action of betin to make a shtar adrachta. Shtar ma'aseh betin to make a shtar hatata. That's why you give it back to the malveh. Because already the betin was posek that he owes the money. And nothing to do with Shmuel. Okay, comes the Gemara and continues. Rabbah has a question on this answer. Amar Rava Vehane Lav Bene Pera'on Ninu. I mean, these cases over here, you're not worried about Pera'on? You're not worried about that maybe it was paid up already? Why? Well, she's can't come to a situation that was paid up already? What do you mean? We have a rule from the rabbis of Nahardah. Shuma Hadar Ad Tresar Yerche Shata. Shuma, an assessment can be returned, we'll see what that means, up to 12 months.
The Amar Amemor, and Amemor said, Ana men Hardea, I'm from Nardeana. Vasvir Ali, and I owe the Shuma Adar Le'olam. The Shuma, that the assessments can be returned Le'olam. What does this mean? So look at Rashi. Shuma, Sheshamu Bedin, the Baal Chov, Karka. Halove. Betin went, and they made an assessment on the fields of the Love. It's okay, this is how much it's worth for the Malve to go collect from. Hadar, Im Yipra Lo Ma'ot Ad Shana. Which means he has a year after they, let's say, made an assessment on his field, that the guy took his field, he has a year to get back his field and pay money. If he doesn't want his field to be taken away. So if, let's say, a year later, within a year, he has money to pay back the malve, he has hadar. And she says, im yipralo ma'ot ad shana. Oh, so what do you see over here? By giving the adrachta back to the malve, you are really now causing the, you will take money out. Which means, if you hold like Shmuel, that says what? Lo hayshinan lepiraon, that we don't suspect that it was paid up, and therefore you're giving it to the malveh. So the Gemara is saying, even in this case over here, the underlying reason why you're giving it back to the malveh is because lo hayshinan lepiraon. Because what? The fact that there's a shuma on the property, who knows? Maybe I'll tell you that when you're going to give it back to him, he's going to collect again. Because the law is that the love is able to pay, get the field back within a year. So therefore, how did you bring a ra'aya? You wanted to knock off the ra'aya. No, we're not talking about a regular shtar. If you fell on the floor with a henpek and you give it back to the malveh. We're talking about an adrachta. We're talking about a halta'ata. So that Rav comes along and says, what are you talking about? Dishtarot also, the payment comes out of it. How does the payment come out of it? Because you have until 12 months. Look at the language he says in Nimsa'e 4. After betting collected karka for the malveh, he can still pay up in order to get back his field. How could you give it back to the malveh? Which means maybe he paid the loan and now the field really belongs to him. How could you give back the shtar halta? Maybe after, just because Betim was posek, oh, this field goes to him. So what? Maybe, really, don't give it back to the malve. Maybe the malve got paid and really the shtar should go to the klove. Which means you still have a suspicion over here. Ela, you must say lo chayshin lepiraon. So it's a proof to Shmuel, because even in this case, we have to be concerned. So Kama Gana says ela marava, different reason. Haynu ta'amad amre iuhu de'afsid anafshe. In this case over, you know why we give it back to the malveh? Because we say the loveh, you did it to yourself. You ruined yourself. The ba'idna de paraeh. Because at the time that you paid, you should have ripped the startup. So in that case over there, I'm not going to be choshesh. In a meh, or what you should have done, lemichtav shtara acharina elave. At that point, you should have written immediately another shtar, which means when the malveh took this adrachta, took this this field, right? And now you want to pay. So what they cut the custom was, so they get the field back. And they just wouldn't give the field back, because technically, the field really belongs to the malveh. The fact that he's giving it back, it's midin being a nice guy. I'm not going to say it's like v'asita yashar v'atov. So what they would do is they would write a shtar as if the malveh is now selling that field back to the loveh for the payment that he gave. So either way, the loveh should have done something. Either he should have ripped up this adrachta, rip up the paper. So now there's no chashash. You're going to drop it, give it back to the malveh, you're going to get payment again. Maybe you paid already. You should have ripped it up. Or what you should have done was, when he sold you the field, or when he gave you the field, when he gave you back the field, after you paid, you should have wrote a shtar immediately that the field was given to you and you paid for it. The medina aralo baya lemedar. Really, the field, technically, the malveh doesn't have to give back the field. Umishum vaasita yashar vaatov be'anei Hashem. But the Torah says, do the right thing. If the guy's willing to pay you, give him back the field. Tamura banan tehdar. Hilkach mirisha hu deka zabin if eden mechtav shtar zabineh, which means he should have written a shtar zabineh, which means in this case over here you're at fault, which means really Shmuel, you have no ra'yah in this case over here. Well, I can tell you, generally speaking, you're choshesh to pira'on. You're choshesh. Don't give it back to the maveh. Maybe he paid. But in this case over here, we don't suspect, we don't give the loveh the benefit over here. Because we say, you did it to yourself. Which is, betin already was posek, you owe the money. That we know. You found an adracht on the floor. You found a haltata. These are shtarot already that give the right to the maveh to go into the guy's property. Oh. See, so what do you mean? But this is a chashash. Don't give back to the malveh, because maybe the loveh paid money, and really the shtar halta'a belongs to him now, and the malveh does not have rights to go down. So if that's the case, one of two things should have happened. He should have ripped up the shtar immediately, or even if you say, well, he doesn't have the shtar, he lost it, so you can still fix it. Right is another shtar that clearly says, so-and-so gave me back the field, because and the Gemara goes through this whole business that he has to write him a field. He has to write him a shtar, because don't think it's automatic that he just gives him back, because really the mother owns that field now. So the Torah says, "Vastesh, be a good guy, write a shtar, give it them back." So when you're giving it them back, you write a shtar, which means the love over here, it was his negligence that caused it them. However, gabesh tarchov may ika lememar, but by a regular tarchov that you found in the street, what are you going to say? In ita de if you're going to say what? If he paid it, he should have ripped it up. Lishtare imur ishtamute kamishtametle. It could be what ishtamute ishtamitle. Look at the Rashi. No Rashi. Here he's stalling. What does it mean he's stalling? Tamale lemachar yehavin alach. The hashda le tagabai, which means it's out of his control in a case of a regular shtar. Because who's holding the shtar? The malveh. Right? So let's say the loveh paid. So the malveh says, so the loveh, okay, could you give me the shtar back? I want to rip it up. Oh, I don't have it. I'll give it to you tomorrow. I don't have the shtar. An interim, it fell. And therefore, the loveh is at a loss. In a meh, if she did the safra zayarle, or the guy's telling him, hey, listen, I'm not giving you the shtar until you pay for the sofer's fee. Because the custom was the malveh writes up the shtar, but the loveh has to pay for the sofer fee. So sometimes the guy's, hey, you didn't pay me yet $100 for the sofer fee, I'm not giving it to you back. So what do you want for the loveh to do? He paid, and the guy won't give him his shtar back until he gives him the sofer fee. And then what happened? He dropped it. Now by giving it to the malveh again, you put in the loveh at a loss, which means it's possible. You want to speak a chiluk here from the outside. It's possible in a case where, let's say, you have an adrachta written that's already beti was posek loveh, you owe the money. Not only owe the money, go down to this field, start making assessments on stuff, take that property, start making search on the goods. That already no sheila, he owes the money. But you know what? I would say if you find that adrachta on the street, give it back to the malveh. Let me give it back to the malveh. Could be, as we know the deen is, he has 1 year to redeem it. Maybe, even though there's a search warrant, whatever it is, maybe he paid him, the loveh, and now he's going to take this thing again, he's going to get paid again. He's going to get his money plus a field. So you see, you know what? Give it back to the malveh. Because loveh, you had ways to protect yourself in this case. You know how could you protect yourself? Bottom line, when the adrachta came to you, right, he gave you the doctor that to get the field or the halta'ata. Tear it up. It's finished. If you paid him, you're going to get the star back. Tear it up. Or better, you tell me maybe he doesn't have it, he lost it. Very simple. You just write a star yourself. So-and-so sold me back the field, and I gave him the money. Write a star to the start of a sale. And the Gemara says, because you have to do that. Because when he gives him back the field, it's like he's really selling them back. The field, because he doesn't have to give it them back. Okay, good. So, loveh, you didn't protect yourself? Your problem. But what do you want in a regular case of a guy? You found a shtar chov on the street. Okay, you found a shtar chov on the street. Give it to the malveh. No, I shouldn't put it on. Why? the Loveh had no way to protect himself in this case. Well, because I can tell you, maybe he paid it. And what did the Malveh say? Sorry, I don't have the shtar. I'll give it to you tomorrow. In the interim, he dropped it. Or he said, I'm not giving you the shtar yet until you pay for the sofer. So there's no, what do you want to do? Write a shtar that what? What is shtar? So he sold me something, there's nothing for him to protect. Rip it, he doesn't have to start to rip. So therefore, in that case, we're not going to give it back. They all say what? Hashir in the Piraon. And just because the stars are around, I can say, maybe they didn't give it to him. Maybe he had a reason not to give it to him. So therefore, there's a haluk between the Adrachta case and the Piraon case of Baal Chof. Amen.